Hi, this is Warren from Taming Sorry. You are listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my friend Kim Sear.
Just heard a snippet of the brand new single by rock powerhouse Taming Sorry, and it is called Crazy here on Music's Journey. There is no secret how much I love this band and their killer new sound that they bring to the rock genre. They deliver a stellar rock show each and every single time they hit that stage, bringing back that real classic rock and blues feel into that modern day rock and roll that we all miss so much. With the help of Toronto producer Ross Hayes Sertullo, he has helped tap into the unique voice of Warren Meredith and directed them towards what is now called Taming Sorry, and that sound that we just all love to hear right now on radio. Here to talk about their brand new single is Warren Meredith, the lead vocalist for Taming Sorry.
I also have Joe with me.
Oh, nice. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Good, how are you?
Really good. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to chat with you as well.
Oh, looking forward to this one. It's nice to have the two of you on the show today. It's always a pleasure when I'm hearing new music from you guys.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Adam has only good things to say about you and the interview he did with you a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever it was now.
I think it was like March this year.
Oh, okay.
When we did that
right
one.
On.
Yeah. So like I really, really enjoyed getting to know you guys, but I love your music and what you guys are bringing back to the rock world. Thank God for you. Thank God for you both.
Oh, well.
Thank you.
Warren,
I'm having a lot of fun.
I want to start with you because I want to remind fans about how the band formed, because you guys all came from different bands doing well in your music careers. So tell us how the band formed.
I'd been out of the scene for a little bit. I had taken, a bit of a sabbatical for a year or two, and I didn't know if I was going to come back, to be honest. And I got into a little band for fun, and it ended up sparking a fire in me. And Adam, our drummer now, he was at a show and he talked to me afterwards. And when I ended up having that project not work out for me, me and Adam talked and I said, yeah, I'm going to come out to Quebec and jam with. So I'm in Ottawa and he was on the Quebec side with Miguel, our rhythm guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over there and we jammed in Quebec and eventually we auditioned a couple of bass players and it was touch and go. We didn't know if we'd ever find the right bassist. And then we met Alex Pellerin and he was really important, very formative in bringing us to another level of professionalism. And we call him our band dad. He cooks our meals on the road.
Does he really?
He's just, oh yeah, like he makes us risotto. Like he's an incredible chef and he's incredibly organized, and so we're just very blessed to have this bass player. He's like, I tell people, he's our Queen. He's our John Deacon. John Deacon from Queen. He did all their accounting and he did all their book work, and he made sure that Queen was always organized.
That makes a big difference. That makes a big difference when you get somebody with that kind of hat, you know, in the pool. So that's really cool.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, Joe here, who's with us now, he's just coming up on his first year with us now. His first year anniversary as our lead guitarist. So his first song with us, this Crazy song,
I know,
is doing very well. And I give all the credit to Joe's riffing skill.
Oh, man. I was so excited. I was so excited, Joe, when I heard that you had joined the band. Because I've interviewed you before. I've interviewed you before.
Yes, with old James, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep, I remember. I do recall that. That was like, feels like a lifetime ago.
I know.
You know, it's awesome to be with these guys because they, you know, it's definitely a match that was made in heaven, I think.
Oh, I think you guys got the magic team right now.
It feels that way for sure. We feel blessed to have each other. We're all pushing in the same direction.
How does it feel now, you know, with all of you gelling together? And Joe, this is his first song, like you said, the brand new release that you guys have out right now on the video. Just to be able to hear you guys work together and being able to be on the same page, because your influences have really shown clear on this song for all of you. And that's pretty cool to see?
It's true that we have a lot of influences. Like, we range all over the map. There really isn't a type of music that someone in the band doesn't have a full appreciation for. So I would give full credit to a couple of things in nailing our sound down. And that would be, you know, we made the effort to go to Toronto, which is 5 hours from Ottawa. We made that effort to go to Toronto, meet with a producer who specialized in Southern rock.
Mm-hmm.
And in that vibe. And he wanted to work with us based on the fact that he believed that my voice could represent that sound. And everyone in the band had to agree, including myself, that we were going to go for that sound, that we believed we could achieve it, that mm-hmm. we believed we could bring something new to it, and that we could fit there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what all bands need to do, is they have to find that sound that that is theirs, that they fit into, that they click into. And so sometimes I think we feel like maybe we be a reggae band and it would be a lot of fun.
You could pretty much suit anything.
You know, sometimes we think about it, you know, like, oh, maybe we'll be a metal band, or maybe we could do this. But in the end, we're coming back to make a certain style of song and a certain feeling. And yeah. We're having fun doing that.
Well, yeah, and it's a style of music that we're making that's really important to all of us. Like, it's maybe the one thing we have most in common musically is what we're making. So it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's when I look at the band right now in the group that you've got together for this, you know, as the band members, it's perfect fit. Yeah, Ross Hayes, Sertillo, he's the one that's the producer
exactly.
that worked with, yeah, because he's done such an amazing job to be able to focus in on your vocals, Warren, and to build everything around that and to build the entire sound around your vocals. And it is missing today. It is so missing on the radio today. You guys are keeping rock alive. I am so excited about this band.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know exactly what I feel about the last one that you just wrote, and you know everything that you've been putting out just since 2019 you guys have been together. But to have it hit like this, what do you feel yourself, Joe, when you're listening to the sound now and this brand new song, your first single with the band that's been mm-hmm. recorded, what did it feel like to you when you heard it back from the studio and the final production?
It was weird because we knew we had made something that was like pretty cool and fresh. It was just fun for all of us to make. It was really special because this is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. It's a genre of music that I've always been kind of obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do that with a band that is, you know, so talented and so easy to work with, and a producer that has, you know, it just he really brings out the best, you know, player in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool, but it's strange at the same time because you never know how well something's going to do. So that's not really in your mind. It's mm-hmm. more just, wow, look, I'm happy just having this here, that something that I made that I can hold on to. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that when you're looking back at it, like when you first write a song, you just never know what the capability is going to be. You know, how is it going to hit? You know, the fans going to love it as much as you do? Like, this is a really cool song because it just gets back to connecting, you know, with people. And I think that's
exactly.
just so needed right now. And it's perfect timing. Perfect timing. And Warren, God love you. I love your voice.
I absolutely love your voice.
How are the
that
fans?
That means the world to me.
How are the fans, you know, when it comes to hearing you finally, you know, when you guys are kicking it on stage, it's killer performance every time. Like, you bring it.
It's a blessing to get to be on stage. COVID has proven that to every performer, everybody who really loves performing for crowds of people and is addicted to that rush and that feeling. We've had such a difficult 2 years fighting for that dream to even exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something special. We played in Kingston last weekend and we had, you know, about 10 people come from Ottawa who saw us at JJ Wild, and they just wanted to come again and see us.
Nice.
And I told them, like, I feel so bad that we don't have a brand new song for these people every single time. And they said, no, like, we love the vibe, we love the songs you have, like,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it makes me emotional because, again, I feel like we need to give them more every single time. And but again, when we get the chance to be on stage, we're all in love with it. Like, all five members, like, there's not one of us that doesn't absolutely adore being on stage and having that opportunity to create something, like, of a feeling or a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's we all love it. It's something we don't take for granted.
Well, we'll talk about it a lot, you know, when it comes to live performances, because it's one thing to write a great song, to get into the studio, you know, have it released on radio, but you build your fans, you know, it's on the performance. If you can't do a live show, that's where you lose. Like, they'll forget the song after a while. It's the live performances that make sure you have those people that are lifers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best part, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's really why we all do it, I think. I can speak for everyone in the band.
Well, you guys...
Great rush.
Yeah, big time. Does any of the fans come up to you, Warren, and say who you sound like? Who you remind them of the most?
Yeah, but I get a lot of different ones. It's interesting. I really like it. I think it depends maybe on how I feel on the night, because I'll get Layne Staley sometimes.
Nice.
Sometimes I get Gord Downie. Sometimes I'll get Joe Cocker. I think it just depends on maybe where I'm feeling, because I do pride myself in versatility and being able to go in different places depending on where the song wants me to go. And that was what I really wanted to prove with Gone and Run Away. I wanted to show that I could bring a song with almost no rasp and still give a really good performance.
Now, when it comes to the sound of your voice, and like you said, Gone and Run Away, that was a ballad for you guys, but you still brought that rock element that everybody's expecting. You know, when it comes to you guys, you can still give an incredible performance, but it's nice to see that ballad. Nice to see the diversity that you guys have.
Yeah, thank you. We try and challenge ourselves, and we're going to go back and record another two songs in January, and we're also going to release a song in January.
Yay.
So we recorded two songs that weekend back in July, and we've just been sitting on the second one. We're going to go do the music video for it this weekend with amazing people at Kingston Circus Arts.
Oh.
And I would really advise checking these people out, because they're just a very unique story, very unique group of people, and I can't wait to showcase them. We can't wait to showcase them in the next music video. It's going to be really cool. The song is called Imposter.
Imposter.
So, you know, I think that the song maybe has that love, has that that feeling where you think you know your lover, but then they're an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're the fraud. But then maybe you realize you were a bit of a liar yourself, and so you're both imposters. And I said on another podcast, you know, a lot of us, like all the songs, Loving Way, Gone and Run Away, Crazy, and Imposter, they all have a feeling of COVID attached to them. And Loving Way was about like how you would deal with COVID and the effects of it taking away what we would perceive as freedoms or whatever you might consider them. And how we would deal with that. And then Gone and Run Away was the acceptance that we had lost a part of our life for over a year, and it was gone. That, you know.
Nice. Very cool spin on that. Yeah.
And Imposter and Crazy, of course, is we just want to get together with our friends. We're fed up. Just like
let loose.
Just like to be, you know, we just like to be with people.
And nice that you got to be able to perform all this stuff too. So tell us about when you're going to be releasing that one, roughly.
I think it'll come out mid to late January. Mid to late January, it'll come out with the video, and it's gonna be it'll be epic. I don't know if it'll do what Crazy did. It's like Joe said, we recorded those two songs at the same time, and we were going back and forth between them. And Crazy gave me personally a little bit more difficulties than this other song that we're gonna release. And I thought Imposter was better than Crazy. I personally at the time thought that, but then Crazy came out and people really connected with it. So again, you just have no idea. You just try and make the best song you possibly can, and you know, hope that it sticks.
Do you find a lot of pressure, like when you, because you guys were, you know, such hype in 2019 when you first released your music, and that lets you know right there that the fans were just absolutely waiting for that kind of sound. You know, we crave that kind of sound, and especially your type of voice, and you know, just your heavy guitar riffs, everything that's a part of what the elements are for this band. and then have COVID hit, you guys have had to sit back, you know. And has it been harder for you to write and to be able to connect, or has it been easier, you know, to be able to tap into those emotions, like you're saying, for these songs?
It was difficult. The COVID was difficult for everyone. We persevered. I'm incredibly proud of everybody in Taming Sorry because of the way that we handled it. And we were able to find good gigs that had to do with live streaming.
And charities, you know? Too. And you were, yeah.
And charities, mm-hmm. right? Live streaming charity events. And we ended up playing, you know, most of the theaters in the city over the year. You know, we played the Shankman in the East End. We played Algonquin College Commons Theater in the West
nice.
End.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we moved around and we made as many connections with people. We played outside on Spark Street in Ottawa, which is, you know, the oldest street in the city. And it had a very good festival feel to it because people were able to come and go as they pleased. But it was great. You know, children dancing, elderly people dancing, something we hadn't experienced in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been lucky. Like, a lot of bands have played one show.
I know.
Years.
I know. It's been tough.
I've refused. Our band has refused to accept that. We played shows for 50 people. We played shows for 35 people. I think it's too critical for me to perform live. It's something I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we kept our foot down. We played 9 shows this year.
Oh, that's not bad. That's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering what the year's been like.
Exactly. And that was all Joe's. Like, that's what Joe's done so far with our band. And that was the other reason I wanted us to play a lot of shows. We've added a new guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to be as comfortable with our song and with us on stage as possible.
Yeah.
And the only way you do that is by getting your reps in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, anything. You got to get your reps in. Otherwise, you're not going to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Because those live performances, those are the ones that are critiqued, you know, so much, and it takes practice. Yes. And you can't be able to deliver what you guys are capable of without it. And, you know, it's not an easy time right now. So way to go, Joe. Really, really good.
Thank you.
He's going, thank you, this is great, you know.
Well,
but
he's the youngest.
Oh.
And yeah, he's the baby in the band now.
How old are you now, Joe?
I'm 24 years old.
Oh yeah, because I think it was like last time I met you, I think you were like not even 20.
No, I think I joined Old James and I was like 21.
Yeah, I knew it was around there. Yeah, when I'd seen you last.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So no, it's,
I get to pick
yeah,
on
it's,
you.
It's been a couple years.
I get to pick but on
yeah,
you
he,
now.
He's our baby. We all pick on him. We all pick on him. That's the fun with Joe.
Yep.
But we've had a great time with him. Like, since he's joined, he's brought that energy that I saw when I watched him play with Old James.
Mm-hmm.
When we played a show with them, I watched Joe and I turned to Adam and I turned to Alex and I said, that is what a lead guitarist is supposed to look like on stage. He's mm-hmm. ferocious. So that's, it's been great. It's been a great year. And we never could have imagined that when Joe joined a year ago, that we would be able to go to the studio a month or two later, record all these songs, you know, do all this work and have it work this way. I don't think Joe thought it would quite go this way. I don't think I thought it would, but we're happy
yeah.
it has.
It took us all by surprise, for sure.
Well, it's a nice, nice feeling, and you guys deserve it, really deserve it. Let's give a little bit of information when it comes to who you idolize, Warren, when it comes to a vocalist, somebody that inspired you to sing the way that you do.
Okay, well, this might be a surprising answer, but I, as a kid, when I was very young, I really looked up to the old vaudevillian way of looking at things with the old triple threat. And so I took 4 types of dance throughout my life. I took jazz, tap, ballet, and African dance.
Really?
And yes, and I was in theater. And I acted in a lot of plays. And the last part of the trio that I discovered was singing. And I didn't believe or know I could sing until I was about 21 or 22.
Seriously?
So, yeah. So when I discovered my voice, then I was finally able to complete that dream in my head that I could be like a Cab Calloway.
Wow.
And I would say, I would go back to that. Minnie the Moocher, Cab Calloway. I believe that he's the original great frontman who inspired perhaps all the frontmen of today.
Mm-hmm.
His flamboyant behavior, his outfit, his complete control of the band, that type of style, just I see it in all the rockers. I see it in every frontman.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have to be a showman because you are the frontman.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of different little skills. And I really admire that. If you can dance, sing, and act, I think that's like I said, I'm from the old thought of that. I mean, of course, when I was a little kid, I was enamored with Elvis. You know, of course I was enamored with Michael Jackson. I mean, mm-hmm. again, these people were doing the things at the highest levels, like Guns N' Roses, you mm-hmm. know, like Axl Rose. He would be a good rock example, or Steven Tyler, or, nice. You know, there's so many great performers and artists. That's why I decided to go with Cab Calloway, because I just think he inspired so much of the big band sound moving forward and how it should be presented.
Very cool. Explains a lot. It explains a lot about how you put on a show and just those different differences in your voice that I pick up on different songs that you're singing. And you can definitely hear the influences in there. So very cool. Very, very cool. What about you, Joe? Is there a guitarist that you idolized that you wanted to play like?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of guitarists that I idolize. I don't. It's really hard to say one specifically because I listen
literally. How about the guy from Free? Tell her about that guy and that guy there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do really love Free, and Paul Kossoff is one of the best guitar players of all
yes.
time. Mm-hmm. He just the way he played it's the Les Paul into the Marshall, but he didn't play fast. You know, he played mm-hmm. really, really soulfully, and it
you
was
heard
different
every
for the
chord.
Time.
Every, yeah,
you, right. you heard everything. Mm-hmm. It was raw, and there was no hiding anything. So I did idolize Paul Kossoff quite a bit. But you know, it's like when you grow up with it, you really do listen to it. I've been listening to so much music with guitar in it now that it's just like I literally pick and choose little bits of everything that I listen to.
Nice.
Well, what was that stuff, Joe? What was that weird picking stuff that grass? What is it called again?
Oh yeah, like bluegrass. I mean, there's
yeah,
there's,
you're
there's
getting
so
the bluegrass.
The Stanley Brothers. Like, I mean, there's Billy Strings is a new one. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But like just the old flat picking and we haven't. I'd like to incorporate that into the next some sort of Taming Sari
that
at
would
some
be
point
cool.
That's something that I'm obsessed with and yeah, just like chicken picking. There's like in all the old blues guys, Albert King, Albert Collins, like
hell yes,
that
literally
would be
everyone.
So cool. That would be so cool to hear, and you know, putting Warren's voice in behind that would be so cool.
Oh yeah, and it's so like accessible and reachable for us with the who we have in this band. I think it would mm-hmm. be kind of a no-brainer and easy to do.
It's amazing. Amazing when you get that right fit. And, you know,
yeah.
somebody brings into all these different influences and different, you know, capabilities. What that opens up for the band to be able to do that's new and create more and more. It's just evolving all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got a long way to go as well. When like we're going to be figuring out our style probably for a while.
Well,
it's going to change and it's going to go through different stages, right?
Well, as I said to you guys before, I have predicted since the moment I heard you guys sing, and just your sound, the whole capability of your lyrics, your play on lyrics, and the relatability, you know, with your lyrics, you guys are 100% going to hit that podium. 100%.
Oh, wow.
Well,
thank you.
Without a doubt.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Support.
You guys might be just starting right now, but man, oh man, if this is what you're capable of now, what's going to happen in 5 years? And what you guys do just in 1 year? Going to be a lot. And I guarantee it. I can predict that one very easily without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, thank
wow.
you, Kim.
That's a huge incredible. Compliment.
Well, I'm a rock girl. I was born, you know, loving this kind of genre. I love R&B too, and I love country as well because I do an awful lot of that. Excuse me. But I love all the influences in music. But rock is just something that is very dear to my heart. So when I hear you guys in the records that you guys have been putting out, the singles are just incredible. It just brings me back to why I love rock. And I think all the other fans are going to feel the same way. It's just, you bring us back to the love of rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Why we do it.
Yeah. We live in the love of it too. Like we're living our dream.
Yeah.
And
you can tell
when we opened up for JJ Wild and at the Bronson Center here in Ottawa, and there was 500 people in the audience. It was just, everything is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is worth it when we get to make that connection with people. And it makes it feel like, yeah, this is why we do this. This is why we wanted to do this in the first place. And it makes everything make sense.
It's so refreshing to hear that, because so many of the artists that are out there right now, the bands are starting, all they care about is that hit record. They don't care about, they've forgotten, I think, to the reasons why they're doing it in the first place. And if you can keep that in every ounce of what the band does moving forward, and remembering why you love to play, remembering why you love this genre, you guys are going to be so successful, and you're going to be a band that sticks around like the other huge icons that we have in rock and roll. And I think you guys have that capability without any doubt. You guys could do it just the same.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about the song that we were talking. Let's talk about the song that we were talking about earlier, that you guys have released your third single, and that was "Gone and Runaway." Talk about writing that one, "Thirsty from Drought" EP. Talk to us about that.
Okay, so "Gone and Runaway" was done. I guess it was the last song before with Danny. So it was the last song before Joe came on, and I think it was just we wanted to challenge ourselves. It was kind of a low point in the year. We decided, you know, let's do a ballad. We've done a lot of rock songs. Let's do something where we can learn and grow as a band, because playing slow is hard. And
I bet it is. I bet it is after what you guys normally play. Yeah,
I think it's hard no matter what. It's control. You're exercising control when you're doing that, and you're keeping that tempo nice and safe and in the groove and in the pocket and all that good stuff, and learning how to do that as a band, because it's not the same. Every song is different. It presents different challenges. And so I also really wanted to explore a different feeling than "Loving Way," where I was pushed to my absolute limits on what my voice could go, how raspy I could go, how forceful my voice could be. I wanted to go the opposite direction, just to mix it up and to show myself that I have range and I don't have to be one sound or another. And it was a good learning experience for everybody in the band. The lyrics, everything came naturally. It had, I think we just had a feeling of sadness at that point. Maybe we knew as well that we were coming to the end of the road with one band member, and he was going to go on to do some other things.
Okay.
And that could have also impacted the mood of things. You know, because
I can see that
it is our saddest song. It is our song of mourning. So I see that as well in it. We had a great time, because like I said, it was a learning curve.
Now
we know how to do that better than we did before. And often we're always, when we go into the studio, we're always like, let's do a song, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, all we're doing. It's going to be that radio length. And we put a bunch of restrictions on ourselves to work within. And "Gone and Runaway" was an opportunity to just break out of all that and just be artistic in another way.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And I want the fans to hear it. So we're going to play a couple today, just so we can remind fans of all your music, because it's important. I don't want to just put out your new single. I want to remind them from where you guys are coming from. So we're going to play it right now. Here is "Gone and Runaway" with my very special guest, Canadian rock band Taming Sorry, here on Music's Journey. After the sun fell out of the sky, I'm left with thoughts of nothing good, connected to That was Gone and Runaway by Canadian rock band Taming Sari. It's just such a great song, that southern country rock and some little bit of elements of what we all love in that modern rock era right now. This is a magic, magic song, and I absolutely loved it. Really good song for you guys.
Thank you.
You guys are up there as far as I'm concerned. I've talked about this in your performances when you guys are giving rock fans the best experience out there with your live performances. That I can put up with, you know, some of the ones that I have seen throughout the years. You know what? You guys are on that road to that holy grail with the best bands out there from the past, and moving that forward into the present right now.
Oh, thank you. That's quite the compliment.
We will keep working. We will not give up. That is for certain. We really love it.
You guys are only going to get better and better and better. Now, when the band, you know, with the different multiple bands that you guys have worked with and all that you bring forward and the influences and creating that perfect sound, what was it like for you joining the band, Warren, for you and working together, coming, you know, from all the different genres?
You know, I was overwhelmed at that time, to be 100% honest with you. I had gone through tragedy and trauma.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it was a tough one for you.
Yeah, I went through some tragedy and some trauma in 2013. I had a very, very dear friend who was murdered.
Yeah.
It was a very horrible experience, I won't lie. And it took 5 years to settle the situation.
Oh, man.
In 2018, this individual was, the murderer was sentenced to life in prison, murder one, with no chance of parole for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the same sentence that Paul Bernardo got. So you can understand mm-hmm. that it is a very, the most severe sentence this individual could be given.
Yeah.
So it was just a very traumatic to deal with a psychopath and to learn that these people are out there. And I'm still learning to deal with it. It's an ongoing thing.
It's not something you forget. Yeah, it touches your life,
yeah,
right? It's a part of your experience and who you are.
I was with my friend, you know, 4 hours before he encountered his final encounter. And, you know, it's just a very traumatic situation. But when I met the band, the trial was wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming to an end. And like I said, I was in Ginger Fox before. It was my old band. And that ended in like 2016 or 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, we broke down. We couldn't really handle what had happened to our friend. We were all grieving. It was very bad. And I honestly can't really hang out with a lot of those people anymore. It makes us too sad
mm-hmm.
to be around each other. And so anyways, when I decided I was going to try again, I joined this other band, and the guy was a jerk, and I found that out within 2 weeks, and I was just so sad because I was finally, after 2 years, I was going to try and make a comeback of some sort, and I realized right away that this was going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam, the drummer, he was with Miguel and Danny, and they invited me out to Quebec. I went there. They all spoke French. I did not. I understand it to a degree,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love them and all that. And what happened is just we connected musically and dream-wise.
Nice.
I told them that day, you know, I told them, I want this. I want to sacrifice. I want to do whatever's necessary. I'm not coming back unless that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they've been at every step. They've matched my intensity and or exceeded it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're lucky that we found each other. And I do feel like my friend is looking out for me up there, and maybe he did help find me the right people.
Because you may not have been ready, you know, back then.
I've been at this for a long time. In 2009, I decided to get clean from a drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And
congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. And I decided I was going to become the Ginger Fox. And I tell people, I don't think I was in the right frame of mind necessarily, but I decided that I wanted something besides drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge moment for me. And 10 years later, I said, you got to do this for 10 years. Can't just say you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 years later, in 2019, I'm on stage at the Ottawa Senators game in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
To the month.
Insane.
And 10 years later to the month, and I just said to myself, you did it.
Yep.
You did it. You stayed clean for 10 years, and look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You worked at something. Something good came of it.
Because you believe.
These guys are my saviors.
You believe in yourself, you know, in a different way. You know, when somebody sees something in you, and I know that Adam was watching you for quite a while before they went and approached you. And I know that that was just something that they saw that was magic in you. And sometimes it's just that little bit of just, I don't know, just that support system that's around you that makes all the difference in the world and how well we do. And that just gives you enough momentum to believe in yourself and then do that self-work that you needed to. And it's just really, really great, you know, to hear that story. And I wanted people to hear that because it's really important. We've had a lot of artists that have come on that have talked about the same thing and what, you know, they thought having this kind of lifestyle would be and what needed that pressure that was on them, you know, and that they couldn't do it without it. They couldn't do the show. They couldn't perform, you know, without having some kind of substance or something, you know, that they needed to relate to loosen up or whatever. But you guys, you can feel it. You can hear it, that you guys all love what you do. And I am so excited for you and this whole new journey that you're on right now. And you deserve it. You know what? You really deserve it. Congratulations. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, you know, that you've done that.
Thank you. You know, it's with support. It's mm-hmm. There's a few things that I got lucky with. And that is, number one is I've been performing since I was 6 or 7 years old on stages. And so it's a natural high. It's a natural addiction. And mm-hmm. I never needed anything to get on stage before. And nice. So I had that working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I had working for me was the support of a loving family that didn't give up on me.
Yeah.
And they believed in me. And without that, I think my story would be very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
because I had people who loved me and I had a true connection to the stage and to performance, I think I have been saved. At least I'm blessed and I feel humbled and lucky that I'm here today and I get to be with these great guys. Because like I said, like, we're called Taming Sorry because it's not the Warren Meredith band. Alex Pellerin, our bass player, he's, like I
oh,
said, our
huge.
Band dad is
yeah.
just such an incredible part of our band and why we're here. And Adam is such a massive part of our mm-hmm. band and why we are here. And Miguel and Joe are too.
Yeah.
And even Danny, who's no longer with us, everyone put in so much work to get us here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's needed full sacrifice. People ask, oh, who's the songwriter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are the songwriters and we're very rare because we share rights on all songs
mm-hmm.
where, you know, no one in this band comes and says, this is my song. I'm, you know, willing to share it with somebody. No, all the songs are together, and that's very rare. No mm-hmm. one here is trying to take an upper hand on another band member.
That's what I told you.
That's why.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When I'm hearing and what I've heard, you know, in your music, you can hear every single influence of each of you. And as individuals, yep. you guys, when you gather together, you make that whole. But those are the bands that stick the test of time. Those are the ones that are timeless. And you guys are on that road. You guys have all of that. And you can tell with every bit that you pour out on that stage, you leave every ounce of it in your studio as well as on the stage. And that's something really special to see.
It's an amazing thing to be in a great unit of people that all care at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never experienced it before. I'll tell people this over and over again. Like, I've been in other bands, like I was saying, that were semi-successful, but those bands never wanted, everything was about doing things on the cheap. Everything's always about finding a way to avoid a price or avoid a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the opposite. You have to basically run into every sacrifice you can imagine and be happy that you get to do that, you know?
Exactly.
Because the stage is a gift. The stage is a gift. So if you really want to enjoy the stage and that full gift, then you have to give up things. And I'll give a funny example. Back in the day, I had a very possessive girlfriend. And I remember getting off stage one day and getting my picture taken with a couple of fans. And she just came up and wham, punched me right in the face.
No way.
And yeah, and I realized, you know, that it was really hard for her. You know, she was jealous or whatever.
Mm.
And, you know, so this is where you encounter different kinds of sacrifices where you go, okay, do I want the girl or do I want to make music?
Mm-hmm.
And that type of thing, you have to decide all the time.
Do I want to
do this or do I, you know, what do I want out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've decided over and over again, we want the music, you know.
There'll be time, you know, when you'll have both. But, you know, you'll know when it feels right and you'll know when it feels right with that person. And that person's going to respect and love everything you do, right? And the sacrifice.
Adam and Alex are blessed that way. Alex is married to his beautiful wife, Laura. We were all at their wedding back in 2019. And, you know, they have a beautiful relationship. It's super supportive. And I aspire to have something like that. And Adam, too. Adam found somebody. And it's the same thing. Very supportive, incredibly strong, independent women. And, yeah, one day I'm going to find one. Absolutely.
You will. You will. 100%. Absolutely. With the heart that you've got. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
We are going to play another song right now, one that the fans have requested, and we cannot go without it. It's one of my favorite songs. It's on my playlist. It's never going to come off my playlist, I can tell you that right now. It's called Down with the Devil. This song is standing out for everybody as one of those anthems you do not want to miss. So here it is on Music's Journey.
She said straight.
Down with the Devil by rock band Taming Sari. Insane guitar riffs. Frontman Warren, I'm telling you, stands out with his vocals with that perfect performance each and every time. What a killer song. This one is one of my top favorite rock songs. Really, really love this song. Incredible job, you guys. Really good job.
Man, this song's a lot of fun. it's always been a lot of fun. And Miguel brought this riff, our rhythm guitarist brought the riff in. And I remember coming up with the melody and the way it flows, but our producer really helped us to understand, helped me to understand that my lyrics were not necessarily the best. Mm-hmm. And that was a big learning curve for Warren. going and getting criticized is a big part of
learning.
The production part of your song, right? And
yep.
And so when we went in and he was like, this is a really powerful song. And like the way you're saying like down with the whatever and this and that, like he's like, that's good. But the lyrics are horrible.
tell me like it
no.
is.
No, please. You know, and I'll tell you, like, the lyrics are something like this. I'll give you a little taste of it. You know, something like Edgar Allan Poe could never let go. Loved a girl so much, cut off his ear, Van Gogh. Okay. Mona Lisa stares into your soul. 500 years later, Leonardo. Okay, so he was like, no. Because I had made this whole history song, okay?
Oh, no.
And then the lyrics were going to be like, originally the chorus was going to be like, down with the demon. And he was like, not the demon, the devil. He's like, make it singular. And so I had all these lessons to learn with down with the devil. And it was very humbling. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I love the song to death, and I'm so pleased that we were able to learn, because it was a learning curve for everybody to take that level of criticism but rise above and make everything work the way it needed to. Because I went out there and I wrote the lyrics in half an hour, and I listened to whatever advice he gave me, and when we went back in, he was like, that's amazing. Like, that's what it's supposed to be.
And it brings that true traditional, you know, classic rock too, you know, that feel to it.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah. It's a school of rock song for us. It has that school of rock feel to it.
Very much.
And that's good. That's that old rock sound, and that's a good place to start from.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a really, really good point. Really good point. When it comes to what's happened, you know, with rock, Joe, let's talk about how much rock has changed. I know that you haven't, you know, you haven't been in it as long as, you know, some of the others, but when you're talking about how much it's evolved, you know, through the years and what it was like in the 90s and what the perspective was when it come to rock music and the genre, and then what it's become now and what it's changed into when it comes to this new modern twist that you guys have added to it, that new modern flair. Tell us about what you feel in regards to how much it's changed.
I don't have much firsthand experience considering I was born in 1997.
I know. I know.
But, Joe, you played Blues Fest when you were how old?
I know.
I can't remember.
Like you were 12 years
something
old?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so Joe's been around a long time. Joe's been around.
I've had a lot of
But you know music.
Throughout the years.
Yes,
yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah,
you
certainly.
Open for Monster Truck. You open now for J.J. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I've been lucky enough to have a lot of good, good experiences throughout the years, especially when I was like a lot younger. I got opened up to it from a fairly young age, not just the performing aspect, but performing on big stages with, mm-hmm. you know, professional bands and blah, 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 blah. How music's changed throughout the years from, well, I like the,
just sound just wise from your perspective and what, you know, fans were looking at, you know, when it comes to the rock genre now and how hard it's gotten hit here in Canada and, you know, what's happened to rock now.
I feel like the audience for rock music kind of got smaller and smaller, or just not necessarily smaller, but people wanted something different. Popular music wasn't necessarily guitar driven at a certain point anymore, and it was harder for a rock band to get exposure, you know, gain traction.
Huge.
Just to get on
radio was insane.
And a lot of people say that guitar-based rock or guitar-based music is dead, but I don't think that's necessarily true, because you look at bands like, you know, like Greta Van Fleet, for example. Like, love them or hate them, they're doing something insanely cool when it comes to classic rock music. They're bringing it back, and obviously it shows that people really still want that.
Mm-hmm.
But like nowadays it's also a lot easier for a lot of bands to that necessarily wouldn't be able to get exposure, like with the internet and everything like that. You get a lot a lot of different styles of rock music too. Like you look at a lot of the new indie bands and a lot of the new alternative bands, like that's still guitar based rock music, but it's just gone through a different path.
Yeah, like
right?
you're looking at somebody like Corey Marks, you know, who's trying to you know, bring his real influences of rock into the country, and then he's being told nonstop, you know, by radio that he's too much into the rock and not enough country. It goes into every genre, and you know, 100%. same things happen with rock now. And it's you guys are going to keep
it
alive.
And you find a lot. You see a lot of rock bands going pop. You see a lot of, you know, and incorporating a big, like, kind of over-manufactured, overproduced sound to the radio.
Yeah.
That happens quite a bit with a lot of bands.
True.
It's hard for a band like us, well, I assumed it would have been for throughout the years, to stay true to your sound with everything changing in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to make money, you kind of got to learn how to change, and not necessarily just make money. If you want to survive, you have to look at the whole picture, right?
Yeah, well, let's face it. Like, music is going to continue to evolve. And, you know, the politics behind radio and things like that is constantly going to be there. And you got to find a way around it and not give up and just, you know what, you got to readapt. You guys bring something, you bring that refreshing relatability, but your blunt, honest lyrics and, you know, with those powerful guitar riffs, you know, it's to me, it's that magic button, and it's something that we just don't hear enough of right now. And I'm going to fight tooth and nail, you know, when it comes to getting, you know, this stuff on the radio. And that's why I'm putting so many songs of yours out on this particular interview. I want people to be able to hear it in the UK and Australia and all the other countries that we're in right now, and having them see. And rock is very relevant here, and you guys are a big part of that reason.
Thank you. You know, Joe is very good at, he can beat. And I will say this, back in the day, everyone wanted that guitar. Everyone wanted that Bob Dylan. They want that, you know, that Bob Dylan rise time where everyone wanted to get a guitar and be a songwriter. And all of a sudden folk music got, you know, folk music was something, and then it was nothing. And then rock was something. And you see the instruments come in, and now we have got all these kids making beats. Like, they're at recording school, but what they really want to do in school is make beats.
Exactly.
And I think that's fascinating. That's just like the guitar and how people caught on. But I think what we like is that there's a feeling and a vibe to all the music. And especially, you know, for us, we feel that blues Southern rock vibe very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really do want to keep that alive in today's modern mainstream in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that we embrace all music, because what I've found in the last few years is fans of other music have embraced us. They've opened up and said, you know what? We love rap. I love rap, but I also love rock now.
Nice.
I gave it a chance. I love it. And that's what I think music's all about. If you can get into any genre, you can get into any feeling, if it's authentic and if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we can go for as artists, present something nice and authentic and from the heart. And maybe it will, you know, catch on.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's the thing about today is, you know, 50, 60 years ago, less variety. You had less choice.
Oh, I know.
Now today, you can choose anything. And, like
it all
literally
works.
Anything,
yeah.
You know? So it's just about making sure that the sound stays true and comes out, because I, you know, it will attract people. Like you say, like, rock is still incredibly relevant and powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere.
No.
When you know.
I believe sports and competition, I believe they need rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's really an option. I think if you go to a hockey rink, you need to hear
the anthems.
We rock you.
Exactly.
And it's part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we need to be. It is, you know, that's why we like the Southern rock. It's cultural. It's cultural. There is a real desire to connect with those guitars and that wailing voice, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you got that. You got that one down, Pat.
Thank
you don't
you.
Have to worry about that one. It's nice to see that you guys are all on the same page, because I think that's really important in a band. If you're not all on the same page, you don't have the same mindset, really hard to produce, and, you know, the kind of lyrics that people can relate to. And you can feel that. We want to talk about your brand new song out that's out right now, and it's called Crazy. Tell us about writing this one.
Well, we all had decided that we were going to go to the studio, so it was kind of like, let's write some songs here before we go there. I came up with the riff. It was slightly different than that, but you know, it was. It just kind of came to me. I was playing a lot of guitar, and I had this idea in my head. Alex came with an incredible bass line, which I think is the star of the show in that song. it came together. It was a version of Crazy that that we all really liked, and we took it to Ross, and Ross, he said, yeah, we like this, I like this, that's a great riff, we're going to keep that, but let's turn this into a song. So it kind of just came together pretty easily in the studio, and that was that.
You guys were ready too for this one. I think you guys were all ready for this one, just to let loose and just enjoy, like just to get back to that simple life when, you know, things were so difficult, just to get together with friends and just connect and just, you know, that simplicity of it all, right?
Oh yeah.
Man, such a great song. We're gonna play this one right now. Here is the brand new single Crazy by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry here on Music's Journey. The fans can agree just as much as I do. Great song. This is the new single Crazy by my very special guest, Canadian rock band Taming Sorry. You guys exude confidence when it comes to this one, and you can tell, you know, exactly where you guys are at, and cannot wait to see what you guys come up with for 2022.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell us about shooting this video in Toronto at the iconic pier for the backdrop for this one.
Okay, so we recorded, that's where Ross Hayes studio is on Polson Pier.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to, you know, take breaks and walk down to the water. And of course, there's the big Rebel pub or club there, I should say, where all the wealthy athletes of Toronto will go. And we saw some crazy
awesome cars. And then we recorded the music video back in my hometown in Chesterville. And it's a small town of about 1,400 people. And I had a friend from high school that kind of helped inspire this song. He lives off the grid and he lives his own life with his family. He's got a beautiful wife with beautiful children, two children. And basically, he's built multiple houses on this property. He has that beautiful pond, as you can see in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he inspired me to come up with some of these lyrics, because back in my younger days, I would go party there. And it had such a unique feel to it, where you would drink some moonshine or have some homegrown cannabis.
Like a back
or
party.
Yeah. You know, then go for a swim in the pond. And, you know, in a place where all these fields everywhere, it wouldn't look like there'd be anywhere for a pond. But there it is. He has it. And, you know, so I just really wanted to capture that vibe that he had there and or has there in that base, just so free.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he would open it, turn it into a hippie commune if the township wouldn't kick his butt for it. But I know he would do it. He's that type of person where he's all love and just wants to see people get along.
Enjoy.
So,
yeah,
it was fantastic. I was really pleased we were able to capture that vibe there. I think we did it. We invited our friends and fans to come out and be a part of it. You know, we said dress like a hippie.
Turned out really well.
Yeah, you know, we had people bring out the right vehicles, all that stuff.
It looked like so much fun. So much fun you guys were having on that one.
It was. People who were there said it was like the best one day they had all summer, easily.
Nice.
Just so few chance to get out and be with an amazing group of people and just have fun.
What a better way to do it for what everybody needed right now, right? Absolutely.
Exactly.
Want to remind fans that you can purchase and download Taming Sari's brand new single, Crazy, and add it to your playlist and your socials. You can also request it at your local radio station. I love the fact that you guys really incorporate your videos. Like, you really take a lot of thought when you guys put a single out, you know, to really be creative when it comes to the videos that you put out.
Yeah, I did get to go to school for television broadcasting at Algonquin back when I was a very young person. And, you know, I worked in TV for a little bit. It's a great creative experience. It's a great fun. And we found the right guy to work with. Just like with Ross, we found the right director, the right video man,
mm-hmm.
and Dominic Lanos from K Productions. And he, like, with Wake Up Boy, for example, was really the proof in the pudding for us that we'd found the right guy, because I took him around that junkyard and I come with my plan and I told him, like, okay, this and this, and oh wait, Dom, can you by the way, could you make it so that, like, the rabbit disappears as the motorbike drives into him?
Wow.
And he just kind of looked at me and he was like, yeah, that's not a problem. So when he said that, and then the video turned out the way it did, I was like, okay, yeah, this is totally the right guy, because taking our crazy ideas and making them a reality on video.
And you're always such a character. You are such a character in all your videos.
Yeah, it's a great fun for me. Like I was saying, like, I've loved acting. I've loved the stage and dance and all that stuff. And video creation is just like another part of it. And we all have a lot of fun. Like, this weekend, we're doing it with the Kingston Circus Arts people and we have our costumes worked out. And I can't wait to see everyone in their costumes. And
that's going to be
and
cool.
And see what the circus performers are going to give us. It's going to be really amazing.
One of these days I'm going to be on set with you guys. And that'll be so cool, because I come from that same background too, so it'd be really nice to be able to see this all in action.
I mean, the TV world is dog eat dog, and it will eat up a lot of people, no problem, you know.
It does.
Show scheduling and all that stuff is brutal, and it definitely was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot of stuff, but I wasn't able to handle the 16-hour days all the time.
I know, it's a lot. It's a lot of work.
You know,
it's a lot of prep for what ends into, 3 minutes. It's a lot of work.
Exactly.
Guys, you also had a beer that just sold out now, too. If there anything you guys aren't doing right now? I'm telling you.
The beer is all about Al Keller and the bass player. He has been doing home brews ever since he's been in the band. Dabbling with making home brews and bringing them into us. And, you know,
it's gotten very good. You guys are multi-talented in different kinds of ways, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. So he brings in the home brew, and, you know, I knew he was passionate about it. And so he got the idea that he wanted to have a Taming Sari beer. And we all thought it was a great promotion. And I'll tell you, if for about a year or two, we tried to find the right brewery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we would find the right brewery, but they already had a plan or it just didn't work out or whatever it was. And one day, Alex went with his wife, Laura, to this brewery, just like not for this purpose, but just to go there because it's in Pakenham. It's about an hour from Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And he ended up just speaking with the owner. And after that conversation, it was just worked out. Yeah, it's going to happen. So it just goes to show you how amazing things can be if you don't give up 100%. You get out there. And, you know, we made these stickers to go on the can to make them, you know, our beer for this round.
The Taming Barley.
Out.
Yes.
That's right. Well, we sold out this round. We've had good reviews on the beer. Joe, I think you drank about 48 of them, right?
Too many.
Oh, too many. Yeah. You guys are going to have to send me some. You'll have to send me some so I can try this. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. We're sold out on this batch, but the next order, we will definitely get you some.
That would be awesome. We'll want to try this.
Yeah, we'll do another one in the summertime, I think. We'll do another batch with them in the summer. And it was a great promotion. Everyone seems to really enjoy it.
You know what we'll do? I think this would be a really great idea. If I'm going to be interviewing somebody in the rock world, have one of you guys on as a guest with your beer as our sponsor for that show.
Oh, that
so
is
we
so
can
cool.
have
great
them
idea.
Test the beer, and we'll all be testing the beer and do it on Zoom. I think that'd be really cool.
That'd be wicked.
That will do.
So
we'll
cool.
Make sure that happens. Tell everybody about the shows you guys got coming up. You got January 13th. You got the Rags to Bones at the Horseshoe Tavern, and you've also got something else coming up this month, right?
So this month we're just doing the music video shoot, mm-hmm. and then that'll be it for the year.
You just finished playing on the weekend, your last show, right?
We played at the Mansion in Kingston,
which is
where
cool.
We sat down at the bar and we heard this fellow over talking about his band, the bartender. And the bartender seemed to be incredibly interested. So I decided that I was too. And I leaned over to him and I said, what band are you in? And he looked at me and he said, I'm in the Glorious Sun.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I turned to Joe and Mig and I go, this guy's in the Glorious Sun.
Oh,
and
man.
And so then I find out, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I did your sound like 8 years ago here. Do you remember me?
Oh,
and I was
no
like,
way.
Yes, I do. So it's the keyboard player, Josh from Glorious Sun.
Cool.
It was fantastic. He just had a nice chat with us. And then it just goes to show you that musicians in this country, I mean, he just got back from tour and he was at his local. He was at his local supporting it and being with the people at the bar where he really started at, according to him.
Nice.
You know, he got put a lot of work in at that bar. So it was a cool experience, you know.
Small and world, then, right? When you just never know who's going to be sitting there in that audience.
Exactly. And then in February, we're going to play in Montreal at the Verona Bar. That should be fun. And of course, we were backtracking a bit to January 13th. That will be at the Horseshoe Tavern.
Yeah, one of my favorite venues to go to. Yeah.
On a Thursday night, and I can vouch the other band, Oak Ridge Avenue, from Kingston, are an extremely talented group of guys. I really like their music. And the other band you were mentioning there, Rags and...
Rags to Bones, right?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've never played with them before, but I have no doubt they're going to be very good because the Horseshoe doesn't mess around with Thursday night.
No, they don't.
It's sort of like a good tryout night, like, oh yeah, you want to play the weekend here? Well, show us what you got kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, man. I'm hoping I can get to that one. I'm really hoping I can get out to that one. Gonna try.
Cool.
Gonna try. Got a couple burning questions for you guys before we wrap this up. If that's okay, I'd like to be able to learn a little bit more about Joe and a little bit more about you, Warren, if that's all right.
Certainly. Yeah.
Okay. Name something that you are irrationally afraid of, Warren.
Heights.
Bad for heights.
Like, I can't do them at all. Like, ask the guys. They'll tell you, like, if I'm on a balcony, my back is against the wall.
Oh, really?
If I'm out on the balcony of the apartment, like, I just can't. Like, well, I remember one time at, like, in this place called Adventure La Flesh, which was, like, this thing where you go up in the trees and you do obstacle courses in the trees with a zip line. And I remember trying to go up the tree and my knees just buckled. They won't go.
Oh, so it's a real fear. Wow.
Yeah. I told you, oh my God, I can't even move my feet right now. They're like planted to the ground, you know?
I'm staying right here.
Yeah. I couldn't move. Like, I know they walked to get the course, and I walked around on the ground, and I was like, this is great. This is amazing. But, like...
Yeah, I can't do heights at all.
Oh, wow. What about you, Joe?
Shark.
Oh.
For no reason.
Really?
Like, literally reason. I swim in the ocean, and I go, like, maybe waist deep, and I think that a great white shark is going to come bite me.
Yeah, see, you're watching National Geographic Shark Week.
Way too much, because yeah. I love them.
I know, I do, so too. Much, I do, too.
God forbid I... in the ocean for like more than 20 seconds.
He's right oh back boy. Out. Right back out. Okay, so favorite side dish, Warren?
My favorite what, sorry?
Side dish.
Oh, well, I guess I have to say French fries. Like, if I'm talking about, like, honestly what I would, but I'd probably eat the most. I mean, it's so boring, but that's probably the most common side dish. But I guess I could turn it into a poutine at least.
Oh, see, Canadian poutine. There you go. What about you, Joe?
Yeah. Oh, favorite side dish. That's literally anything with beans.
Oh.
Like, I just, beans are like my go-to all the time. So, you know, like I'd say like refried beans or like baked beans, good homemade baked beans. That would be pretty awesome. I eat that every day.
Very cool. Okay, so Warren, name three interesting things that we would find in your house.
I have a very large Jimi Hendrix painting.
Mm.
I have a Led Zeppelin clock that's made out of a vinyl record. And I have 100-pound German Shepherd Husky.
See, nobody's coming to your house.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. What about you, Joe?
Ooh, three interesting things. I don't know. That's
you can have as much fun with this as you want. As much fun with this as you want. I like it when it's fun. Come on.
This is the I have a day, football Joe. Signed by one of my favorite directors.
You okay the there, Warren?
I'm all right, sorry. Terrible film, The Room. That's one of my go-tos. I have, well, I mean, it's not a surprise, but a guitar that's actually hand-painted by one of my good friends. That's one of my favorite guitars that doesn't leave the house very often.
Nice.
And, man, I got a surprising amount of jewelry.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Like watches, necklaces, or?
Yeah, just like fun, like nothing expensive, just like stuff I find cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Shark teeth and, you know, random bracelets, things like that. I really like to thrift, like go to Value Village and see what I can find.
Very so I've got cool.
A lot of weird stuff.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, Warren, let's talk about celebrity crush for you.
Oh, okay. Been a while, but you know what's that girl from the Superbad, Joe? What's her name? The one who was with Jonah Hill. Oh, Emma Stone. Yeah. I sucked hard on Emma Stone when she came out. I was like, that girl is so confident, so fierce. Like, yeah, I liked Emma Stone.
Very cool. What about you, Joe?
Martha Stewart.
Okay, it's a good thing I did not have a drink in my hand when that one came out. I was not expecting that.
She can cook.
Yes.
She leads an interesting life.
Very much.
I feel like it would be just never a dull moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's friends with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, that's a bonus, too. That's a bonus.
That's true.
Very, very much a bonus. Yes, because I forgot about the cooking thing. That makes sense now. That makes sense. Okay. What is the craziest sign somebody's held up for you when you guys have been out on stage, Warren?
Oh my God, I can't even remember if we've had a sign. If we did,
somebody thrown something at you, like a personal item?
I've had someone grab the microphone from me before. It was not good.
Oh,
that. But I was actually not on stage. But I was doing hockey play-by-play for the Ottawa UGGs, and I had this girl from the crowd. She reached through the booth window and grabbed the microphone, and she said, "Global warming is a serious issue. Global warming is a serious issue."
Oh,
and
no
I took the microphone. Yeah, and I took the microphone back, and I was like, "She's right, it is."
But what are you going to do?
The ice must stay cold.
Oh my God!
You know, like
wow.
Oh. Yeah.
That's when I feel bad when that kind of stuff happens, because it just takes away from the whole. It's just they just want a platform and that's it. I appreciate
we're
what they're
getting you, sorry.
No, I was gonna say I appreciate what she's trying to say, but at the same time, yeah, it's just not cool to do that. Not cool.
Yeah, we're just getting used to see people wearing our merch at shows. Like that throws me off. Like when the pictures came in from JJ Wild and there's like a whole bunch of Tammy Sari logos in the picture and I'm seeing all these shirts, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I'm not used to that. And so maybe we're a step or two before the sign, but you know, one day we can.
You'll see. We'll have this. We'll revisit this question in another year.
Okay.
Then we'll see what comes up. Well, congratulations on Spotify. Spotify, you got one. Look how much streams you have right now and how many listeners you have right now. It is like so cool. Like, very, very cool to see. Congratulations on that. Really great.
Thank you.
And congratulations once again on the brand new single and the video. It's always cool to see what you guys are going to do with the single when we see it visually in your artistry and just that vision you guys, you know, put forward in the video. So just so much fun. And you've got so much coming up in 2022. I hear that there's going to be some more new music, possibly an album, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have a new album or an EP. We all would. But we can guarantee there will be new music. And, you know, there'll be a minimum of two songs coming out in 2022 and probably more. But who knows? We'll see. We really want to tour. There's a lot of stuff we want to do and want to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still in the process where people need to work and have jobs to live and that. So we fit in as much as we possibly can. And so I would say this year we'll be doing some awesome tours. We'll do Northern Ontario and we'll do Southern Ontario.
Very cool.
And because we haven't properly done those areas yet, you know, and I really want to play both of them. We all do.
Well,
and then we can think about outside of the province.
Definitely get out to see one of those. Absolutely. And come backstage and have a really good chat with you guys. I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you guys so much for bearing with me today. I'm really under the weather and I did not want to not do this interview with you guys, but very much under the weather today. So I love talking with you guys. It's always so amazing to have you guys on the show. And I look forward to this brand new music you got coming out in 2022. Make sure you keep me in the loop, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Kim.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you so much, Joe, for being a part of the show. And you guys are amazing. Joe, you are an incredible, incredible player. Absolutely adore you.
Oh, wow.
Very, very.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Warren, you know what I think about your voice. It's a staple for me. So you got to keep it going.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. We love you. We love your show. And we love the thoughtful time that you've spent with us and the thoughtful questions.
Oh, you know, I look forward to having you guys back on. And you guys have a wonderful holiday, okay? Enjoy yourselves. Make some great memories. And Warren, I want to see some videos on TikTok or you dancing or something. I want to see something.
Okay.
All
right. You're right. Our TikTok is lacking. Thank you, Kim.
There we go. Okay. You take care. Say hi to the rest of the guys for us.
Okay, will do.
A great big thank you to my very special guests, Warren Meredith and Joe Fraser from the rock band Taming Sorry. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I'll be interviewing Alex Hughes, got pop artist Kea, Lemon Cash, Corey Marks, Cross Parallel, Rock Band Weapons, Annika, Kira Lynn, voice winner Jay Coote's going to be back. We've got FKB, Jamie Warren, The Washboard Union, and so many more. Don't forget to check out all the podcasts at musicsjourney.com for more of the artist interviews that you do not want to miss. You can also check out all the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love with all of the latest music, videos, and reviews, and more, all on nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey and have yourself a wonderful evening. I will see you next time here on Music's Journey.